This is Torah Home, Episode 3.
I'm here with my husband Craig today for our house and home segment.
And I'm here with my cup of coffee, enjoying this fresh, home-brewed, recently roasted, delicious elixir.
Yeah, mine's all gone.
Yes,
so I know. So, how does coffee help you plan?
Well, this actually is some delicious decaf. It's Swiss water method decaf, which means that it is all naturally done. There's no chemicals or anything used in it. And it's 99.6% pure of caffeine. So it is just a pure enjoyment of the delicious elixir that we call coffee.
So you didn't need caffeine to help you plan. No. I have to tell you, honey, we're different on that one.
I know.
Hey, you guys, welcome to the show. My name is Ann Elliott, and I'm here with my husband, Craig.
Hey, everyone.
And each week, we discuss the question, what is a Torah home? Today, we're going to talk about an issue that is tough for a lot of people, and that is planning. We have to plan out our time if we're going to be effective with the one life we have been given. So join us today as we cover house and home, homeschooling, and marriage and parenting, all from a Torah perspective. This episode is sponsored by Scripture Pictures. You can go to our website at torahhome.com and click on the ad for Scripture Pictures. There are so many verses to choose from. You can get canvas art and posters, tote bags, travel mugs, clocks, stickers, and more. 4 new verses are added every week. Go to torahhome.com and click on the ad for Scripture Pictures.
You're the maker. You're the maker of my heart.
You're the maker of my heart.
You're the maker.
You're the maker.
You're the maker of my heart.
You're the maker of my heart.
Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Messiah Yeshua for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." This verse tells me that my Father likes to plan ahead. His plan is amazing because it includes my redemption from sin. And of course, we know that the definition of good works is contained within his Torah. The word Torah itself is a Hebrew word meaning instruction. It is his instruction manual for good works, and he has planned ahead, way ahead, for us to walk in those instructions. How far ahead did he plan for me to do those good works? Well, Ephesians 1:4 says, "He chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." Before the foundation of the world means before creation, before you were even conceived, even thought about, and before there was even a world for you to live in. That's how long he has been planning ahead for you. This verse calls us his workmanship. In Greek, the word is poema. That means it is something made by a creator. The Hebrew word is pa'al, and it basically means the stuff he makes. It is physical labor. You use your hands or whatever to do work. So we are his workmanship, the stuff he makes. Now, he has been planning ahead that workmanship for so long. The word plan in Hebrew is makashabah. Makashabah is the process of designing a pattern or a plan for action or a device. It's an invention. Sometimes it's translated in our Bibles as a thought, but it's so much deeper than just thinking about something. Have you ever had a thought where you plan ahead and it takes days and days of your time and you write notes all over paper and you have papers all over your desk and you're making these wonderful inventions? That is what a makashabah is, a plan. He has planned ahead for us to be his workmanship. Let me read a few verses about some of the plans, the makashabah, the inventions that he has for you. Psalm 40 verse 5 says, "Many, Yehovah my God, are your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts, your plans, your inventions, your makashabah. Many are your thoughts towards us. They cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered." That gives me shivers. He is so in love with us. Jeremiah 29:11 is a famous verse, and it says, "For I know the thoughts, makashabah, the inventions that I think toward you, says Yehovah, thoughts or inventions of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Now, we were created in the image of our Creator, and we also love to plan. Unfortunately, we do not have His all-knowing ability to see into the future to the end of eternity, and sometimes our plans fall apart. In the book of James, we read that we shouldn't even make a plan without saying, unless Yehovah wills, we will do this or that. You know, I have many inventions. Which ones are really from Him? So many thoughts that go through my mind. Which ones came from Him? For instance, my source of income is always Yehovah, not my work that I do. I only work to serve Him, not to pay the bills or get rich. Those are His responsibility. Amen. It says in Proverbs 16:9, a man's heart invents his way, or plans, or makashabah, but Yehovah directs his steps. Proverbs 19:21 says, there are many makashabah, inventions, plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, Yehovah's counsel, that will stand. Secondly, have you ever thought about how much He delights in hearing your plans? Sometimes I wake up very early in the morning and lay in bed, and I just want to talk to Him. Or sometimes I'll talk to my oldest son before he leaves for work, you know, early in the morning, and he seems to enjoy it. But just think how much my father likes to hear my early morning inventions and plans and thoughts. They give him joy. Check out this verse I saw. It says, the thoughts of the wicked, makashabah, the inventions of the wicked, are an abomination to Yehovah, but those of the pure are pleasant words. Proverbs 15:26. That means that when He hears the inventions of the wicked, they make Him shudder. But when He hears ours, those of us that are pure in heart, they are pleasant to Him. That is amazing. Thirdly, listen to this. Proverbs 21:5 says, the plans of the diligent, the makashabah, lead surely to plenty, but those of everyone who is hasty, surely to poverty. Wow, He's saying, be diligent, make plans, tell me all about them because I delight in hearing your plans. Stick with them. When you make a plan, stick to it. Be diligent day after day. Don't change directions quickly just to bring in a fast buck. Stay the course. Do what He's been telling you all year long. In other words, let Him worry about everything else. He will plan your steps, but you get to plan the inventions. And lie in bed in the morning early before the sun comes up. If you wake up with your mind racing, tell your Father all about them. He won't be surprised. He's been thinking about you since before the foundations of the earth. So before the foundations of your day, when you start to make all of your plans, remember that He delights in hearing them. You can take all of your worries, all of your cares, all of your anxieties to Him, and He delights in hearing, and He will establish your steps as you walk hand in hand with Him, with all of your makashabah. And that's our Torah talk for this week. Today we're going to talk about a Torah home is a home that plans, and I have some great advice for you if planning is a difficult thing. Here are a couple things I do when I really need to stop and plan something out, and we're going to apply this to planning our time, but really it goes for anything that you need to plan. Number one, don't rush in. Stop and evaluate where you are right now. You know, I'm often really tired in life, and those are the exact moments I need to stop and plan, but I'm too tired, and so I don't even think straight. I just rush right in, and I think that I can get something done better if I just plow through. But that is not true. If you will just take a brief amount of time to get away from it all and just pray and think, you will find that all of your time is more effective. Maybe that means you just hide in the bathroom for 5 or 10 minutes. It's okay. Maybe if your kids are a little older, it means that you can go sit in the backyard with a cup of coffee, listen to the birds, and have some time to think. Always take a pen and paper with you, maybe pencil if you prefer over pen. Always take those. In fact, you know what? On my phone, I keep Google Keep with me all the time. And anytime I have an idea, I keep track of that idea. Of course, I'm not going to remember all those ideas, but just getting it out of my head and knowing that it is not lost helps me relax. And later, when I have one of those moments where I need to stop and plan, and I'm sitting in the backyard in my lawn chair with a cup of coffee, I can pull up all those ideas on my phone, and I can now write them in a list, and I can pray over each one and ask God which ones are the ones I should concentrate on right now. Sometimes my husband will take me out on a date. Maybe it's late in the evening and my little ones are tucked into bed and my older teenagers are watching them and they're babysitting. And maybe we go to a restaurant where it's very quiet and we can talk. And maybe even on the trip while we're driving to the restaurant, I can share my concerns, and you can just imagine me, my hands are animated and I'm talking wide-eyed, and I'm really worried about life. And he is just such a good listener. And even if he doesn't give me any advice at all, but just listens, I can get my thoughts out. And in the end, I feel a lot better because I've taken that little bit of time away to stop and think. You know, though, getting things off your chest, writing lists, does not really solve the problems that you have in life. You actually have to have a plan of what you're going to do. So this is where you need to pray for wisdom. Do not try to make plans in your own strength and ability. James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask of God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when you try to go in your own strength and your own ability, well, bad things happen. In fact, I think Jehovah himself is offended when we do not seek his counsel and advice before making a decision. I'm thinking of Joshua, who right after the Battle of Jericho did not seek advice when circumstances made it seem as if people had come from a long distance and were asking for his promise of peace and safety, when in fact they were from just down the road and they had lied to him. If he had only asked advice before plunging ahead with his plans, no problems would have come to the Israelites. Same thing for you. Who is the one who gave you your children, who knows the future? Ask him for help before you get started. Okay, so the first thing is stop. Evaluate. Take a few minutes, a few hours a day, and plan. Number two, make a list. I already said this one, but I'm going to talk about it some more. Let's say I've been out on a date with my husband and I've asked him for advice. And he says, you know, honey, I think you need to take that out of your schedule. And I say, what? No way am I taking that out of my schedule. That's my favorite thing. No. We asked God for wisdom, right? Well, oftentimes God's wisdom starts right with our spouse, as they can see things about our lives that we can't, but they also know us and love us. If we asked God for wisdom and the first thing comes out of my husband's mouth is that I need to take something off of my list, then I need to put a yellow star next to his advice and circle it with a red pen and make sure I do it. Now, make a list of everything that you were involved in your life right now. This might take a few days because it's hard to think of everything that you were involved in. But try to make a list, and if you need to, put the time next to it that it takes you normally to do that thing. You know, add up all those times. There are only 24 hours in a day, and really, if you're getting some sleep, there are a lot fewer hours than that. Then, we could say there are 144 hours if you take a full 24-hour Sabbath. So 6 days a week that you can work times 24, and that's 144 hours minus your sleep, and you can see that there is not that much time. If you add up your list that you have made of everything that you were involved in and it comes out to more time than what you actually have, then you know you've got a problem, okay? So making a list really makes things become clear. Another kind of list that I like is when I'm trying to make a decision is to make a pros and a cons list. You know, being honest, I think I already know all of the reasons why I want to do something, and usually I'm making this kind of list because I do want to do something. Making that list, and I write out down all of those pros, and then honestly listing out the negatives as well. Taking time to pray over that list helps me to be much more objective about a decision rather than just going on my emotions. And in fact, it's easier to share my ideas and thoughts with my husband or with a dear friend because everything has been written down. So for me, my best friend in planning is a paper and pencil and maybe my smartphone so I can keep track of ideas, making a list, taking time to get away. Now, if there is too much on your list and yet you are still a homeschooling mom and you know you cannot get everything done, What do you do? Where do you start? A seasoned homeschool mom of five gave me some great advice when I was first getting started, and I still remember this advice. She said, you know what? There are some important things you have to do every day, and that's it. Number one, read to your children every day. Instill a love for reading in them and start by reading the Bible. It does not matter how young your child is, you can read the Bible to them. It does not matter how old your teenager is, start your day by reading the Bible. If you can get reading to your children done every day, maybe it's a Bible and some other fun things, you have already made a huge leap towards giving them a great education. Number two, have each child from age five and up write in a picture journal every day. Then dictate a few words or a sentence to the children. Older ones, dictate a few sentences. Have them write it down. And dictating that like this to your children is a fantastic thing to do every day. Third, have every child work on a little bit of math every day. And fourth, younger ones should do a little bit of phonics every day. Five, they should copy with their own hand from the Bible every day. And six, they should read, if they're able to and old enough, they should read on their own every day. So those are just six things. You know what? If you have extra time, you can do unit studies and history and science and music and art and PE and drama and you name it. But the basics I listed will provide a good education without any of those extras, especially if it's just for a busy season of your life. You know, I think a lot of the time planning really comes down to knowing what all of your choices are so that you can choose between good, better, and best. If you don't know what your choices are, it's very difficult to make a good decision. Yeshua said to Mary and Martha one time when Martha was really upset at her sister for not helping out in the kitchen. Yeshua said, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Do you know what things in your life are the priority things that you should be doing? What one thing is needed? When you plan and make a list, pray for wisdom, and get counsel from your husband and from dear friends, you will be able to make those good decisions.
When we think of a Torah home, we think of a home that plans to take time to come together as a husband and wife. When we were newly married, Ann and I were both working full-time. I was going to school full-time, and we had two young children. And quite frankly, we were broke, too. Some of you may relate to that very well. We were also involved in our congregation at the time, and we were teaching children's ministries, and we were involved in the music program and also with the teens also. And so we were quite busy and didn't have a lot of time. And when you do those things as a husband and wife, when you're involved in so many things, especially when they're different from each other, it is easy to disconnect from each other as we were running around in different directions. On top of that, we had no money to do much of anything with. So if you think about that, how do you keep that connection? How do you keep coming together as a husband and wife? And the key is planning date nights. You've got to plan date nights into your life for you and your spouse. Like I said, we had no money to do this. So it was also kind of hard to get a babysitter for two small children, and I'm sure many of you relate to this. So some ideas of what we would do when we were young. One thing was we would make a deal with friends, and we would take turns watching children. So we might watch our friends' children one night, and then they would watch our children another night. Another idea we had for this, because obviously kids, if you want to get on a date night and you have small children, they have to be watched out for. Another idea, which many of you might have, is to ask family to watch your children. Now, when you're doing this, when you're asking people for help, there's a few things to keep in mind. Number one, give specific times that you're going to be gone and when you're going to get back. And tell them these times so that they know, okay, this is how much time we're going to have to watch these kids. Secondly,
is make sure to honor those times. Don't say them and then come back a half hour late and go, oh, sorry, we lost track of time. Because, you know, with other people have family and lives too, and they have to plan accordingly and work around their schedule, and they're willing to do things, but don't take advantage of their willingness to help you out. Another idea as far as, you know, how to get babysitters and stuff is to seek out a congregation and get involved in that congregation. And in so doing, you'll build connections with people and get to know people. And that can allow you to be able to understand what your needs of each other are and how to help one another. Like, for instance, if you need babysitting, you can help them. Maybe they need something that you have a skill at that you could trade, and be there for each other and help encourage each other. So there's some ideas on how to handle babysitting so that you and your spouse can get out and have a date night together. Now, the next thing that came to my mind was date ideas. And this one sometimes is difficult for people. Like I said before, we had no money when we were first married and we were broke. And so one thing that we got to like is we actually lived kind of close to a smaller airport. And so my wife and I would go out to this airport, and back then it wasn't like high security and all these kind of things, and we could get in there relatively easy into the main concourse areas. And we would buy a cup of coffee, and we would sit down at a table off to the side from where everybody was moving through the concourse and stuff. And we would just people watch, and then we could sit there and talk to each other during the time that we were there. This was great because it allowed us a little fun. If we saw unusual individuals and stuff there, we could share on that. But it also gave time to lead into us talking about our lives, talking about the kids, talking about our dreams for the future, what our desires were, you know, what's going on in each other's lives, catching up with us, each other, making sure that we are staying connected as a husband and wife. And all that would cost us under $5. You can't beat that. Some other ideas I had is to go on a hike or a walk around the local park. Go sit in a coffee shop. I mean, like I said, a couple bucks and you can sit there and talk for as long as you want. Another one we like to do is we like books and stuff. And so we would go to the mall or Barnes & Noble and go sit there. And a lot of times they have like a coffee shop in there, and we'd go and get some coffee, and we'd go and sit down, and a lot of times they had nice comfy chairs, and we'd get a couple books, and we'd go there and start reading, and we got interested in something, we'd talk to the other person and tell them what we see in the books and things like that. When we're done, we go put the books back, we leave, and again, we're just out a couple bucks for the coffee. So you can go to a mall or a favorite store and just do some window shopping together. It's a great way to connect and like look and see what your likes and dislikes are and what you're thinking as a husband and wife. And it could spill off into other ideas and other things that are going on in your life. And then when it's all said and done, maybe go out to ice cream or get a treat that's your favorite type of a treat together before you go home. Another one, go find a secluded space somewhere. Park. This gets a little steamy here, folks. And sit there and talk about your day, or get in the back seat and make out, or just snuggle as a husband and wife and just connect physically again. Sometimes that little bit of intimacy is enough to just reconnect you with your spouse. Another thing, idea, last one here that I'm going to give today is take the kids to a babysitter. Don't have the babysitter come to your house. And then stay home and eat a candlelight dinner together. Plan it out together ahead of time. Say, hey, this is when we're going to do this. And then after you're done, you can watch a movie together or play some games. Whatever comes to mind that you and your spouse like to do together, you can do there in your own home without going out and not spending a lot of money. Well, I hope that this is some ideas that are help you with your marriage and to stay connected with your spouse as you think about trying to strengthen your marriage and become the husband and wife that God desires you to be.
Today's episode of Torah Home has been brought to you by Scripture Pictures, Homeschooling Torah, and Foundations Press. You can get more information about each of these great companies by visiting us on our website at torahhome.com. Coming up next on Torah Home, Craig and I will be talking about how to have a command center in your house and also about planning a menu. And then don't miss our section on how to manage your expectations and have joy while you plan. We'll be back for more Torah Home after this short break. Welcome back to Torah Home. Today we're going to continue exploring how a Torah home is a home that plans. In the first half of our show, we've already covered some homeschooling and marriage, and coming up, we're going to be talking about how to have a command center in your house and how to do menu planning. Plus, I'll be talking about how to set and manage your expectations so that you can have joy when you plan. As the mom of 7 children, I was in the same position that you probably are. I wanted to make the scriptures the foundation of our homeschooling. I even dreamed about the possibility that I could use the Bible as my primary textbook for every subject. But time was tight, money was tighter, and I needed a workable plan that I could just pull out on a Monday morning and start using. But I couldn't afford to spend an arm and a leg. I also couldn't find a Christian curriculum without references to things that we just didn't want in our home, like pagan holidays or idols. So here's what we did. We worked like mad scientists, and we invented the curriculum of our dreams. No, actually, the Spirit of Yehovah was actively guiding and helping us, and with a few extra cups of coffee here and there, we developed Homeschooling Torah. And I want to share the results with you. I know it will help your family, just like it has helped us. We open the Bible every day with our children, and we use it to teach them every subject. The Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. Is there anything else that we should base our homeschooling on? No way. Visit us today at homeschoolingtorah.com. I'm here with my husband, Craig, today for our house and home segment.
And I'm here with my cup of coffee, enjoying this fresh, home-brewed, recently roasted, delicious elixir.
Yeah, mine's all gone.
Yes,
so I know. How does coffee help you plan?
Well, this actually is some delicious decaf. It's Swiss water method decaf, which means that it is all naturally done. There's no chemicals or anything used in it. And it's 99.6% pure of caffeine. So it is just a pure enjoyment of the delicious elixir that we call coffee.
So you didn't need caffeine to help you plan. I have to tell you, honey, we're different on that one. All right. So, honey, let's be honest with everybody. I write curriculum. You work a lot of hours and outside the home job. Correct. So we are really busy. We have 7 kids, but a lot of them are older now. 3 of them have graduated from high school. Mm-hmm. One of the things we struggle with is getting meals done, and you're a better cook. So you run this area of our life, and you're a better shopper.
Yes. I've kind of taken over the whole menu and groceries and cooking.
All the women in the world are going to be jealous of me now.
Well, yes, it helps that I like doing it. We've kind of tag teamed some.
Yeah, but one of our frustrations is that sometimes we don't communicate what is supposed to be made for dinner, and I don't read your mind very well. I never have.
Yes, this is true, and sometimes it also doesn't work with the kids also. So what we have done is to create in our kitchen a command center. So right now, as we just talked about, we're really busy. We have children that live at home, and they work their own hours and go to school and college and things like that outside the home, as well as us working in the home and working outside the home
and
ourselves.
And homeschooling, the ones that are left.
Yep. And other things such as piano lessons and those kind of things, and ministry, so on and so forth. With all that, chose to start with one of the core pieces of our command center being a unified calendar that anyone from one of us to one of our kids can look at any time and be able to see what's going on in a given day, who's going where, and therefore be able to plan.
Okay. And underneath that calendar, we also have a chore chart, which is supposed to be divided up, all of us in the house having chores. But you know what? Honestly, that's one of the weak areas of our command center because our schedule has changed so much in the past year. Yep. One son graduated and is now working full time.
Well, and when we originally did this, what we did is we took some picture frames and I created on Word a quick kind of a schedule with all the different categories and different chores that need to be done in the house, and put those in there and printed them out. We stuck them behind glass and stuck that on the wall. Now, unfortunately, with all the changes that have been going on and the amount of rapid change too that happened, we can't keep getting that and pulling that out and redoing it, which kind of makes a little bit of difficulty with updating it for our current needs.
Having said that, we use an Expo marker to write on
the glass,
you know, the glass, like a dry erase marker. Yep. So we make changes on it. Yep. And it's working.
So what you can do is simply put like a blank piece of paper with just the boxes or something behind it, and then you can write in initials of your kids or yourselves in the different blanks that would, for those being the chores that they're supposed to do.
Okay.
So.
All right. And then to the left of that, we have a chore chart that we use just for Friday afternoons to get ready for Sabbath.
Yep.
And we can give you a free download of that at torahome.com.
Correct.
Now, the bottom part of our command center is our menu. Craig, tell them a little bit about that because it's unique.
Well, we over time have developed this over, like, say, what, 10 years?
Probably.
You started it
yeah.
a long time ago, and we've slowly developed it over time. But basically, each week I go through, we usually shop somewhere between Sunday and Tuesday. Usually Tuesday right now is our day. On Monday, I'll go through and make the menu for the next week and we'll decide on all the dinners and the ingredients for those. And we have a pretty standard idea of what we're going to do for breakfast. It's pretty much the same every week.
Right.
And lunches, a lot of times we just add a little bit extra for leftovers and sandwiches or something like along that lines. But with dinners, we try to be a little bit unique. So we put that down, what the dinner is, and underneath it, the ingredients that are needed there.
Yeah, that's a key point. Why do you do that?
Well, that way, whoever's making dinner that night knows what ingredients they need to get out. But also, that's what I used in order to make our grocery list, which we have a grocery list for us that goes with the stores that we do. And I basically have gone through over time and I put everything in order from the where I start in the store to where I finish in the store. And that way I can just put everything down. And when I go to the grocery store, I don't miss anything because I'm just going boom, boom, boom through the aisles.
All right. And then also in the menu, you tell where the recipes are found. Because in a family like ours with a lot of people cooking, we have to be able to find the recipe when it's time for supper.
Yes.
Like tonight, we're having stir fry, chicken stir fry, and mm-hmm. you put on there that you can go to the website. Is that the name of the website?
Gotcha.
Genius Kitchen.
Yes, I just found this within the last like 6 months. It's called Genius Kitchen. I realized when I was researching recipes that this kept popping up, and I'm like, that's interesting. And so I started looking into it, and sure enough, there it is. And you can download all of your favorite recipes there. It has a lot of them. You can save them. You can make boards for each of those type of recipes. It's really awesome for doing all those kind of things.
Now, this is something we just started doing. We've also saved a lot of our recipes. Some of our family favorites are on torahome.com, like our favorite
Correct.
Cookie recipes and, mm-hmm. you know, my favorite recipes. Craig's, I think, are more online. Evernote is a great idea. A lot
yep.
of people use.
Evernote. We also use Pinterest a lot.
Yeah, Pinterest, definitely. Mm-hmm. And it does depend on who's cooking, because different people in the family
yeah.
use.
I think I'm actually going to head over and do this all on slowly over time on Genius Kitchen, because everybody can access it. And if our kids move out and they want to get all the recipes, it's be all right there under my name. They can hook onto my account. They can add their own favorites. And we can create this wonderful family database of recipes that are our favorites.
All right. Thank you so much for all your ideas, Craig. Let us know if you have questions. And if you have ideas or ways that you make cooking easier, please let us know. And you were going to say something about your coffee?
No, I'm heading back in.
Oh, you're
going to
go. All right. Visit us on torahome.com or on Facebook at Your Torah Home. Hey, this is Anne, and I have a fun teaching tip for you this week. If you're a homeschooling mom and you need to teach your kids about how to plan, there really isn't a better time of year than now to start a lemonade stand. Maybe you could have a brownie stand. But either way, teaching your kids to sell something in your neighborhood
is a great way to teach them to plan. Proverbs 21:5 says, "The plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty, but those of everyone who is hasty, surely to poverty." So, read this verse together with your children. Talk about what each of the words mean. If they're a little bit older, look them up in a Strong's Concordance. Find out what plans are, what it means to be diligent, what it means to have plenty, what it means to be hasty, and what is poverty. Let's get out paper and pencil and let's make plans. We are going to make plans to how to sell lemonade. Maybe it's brownies. Maybe it's chicken eggs. Maybe it's some vegetables from your garden. Maybe it's something that they can make like jewelry or zietzeet. But remind them that the plans themselves won't bring them plenty. It's the diligence that comes after the plan that actually brings in plenty. That's the hard part. How are they going to advertise? Where are they going to get the materials? How are they going to pay for the materials? Are there jobs that they can do for you if they have no cash to help them earn what they need to get started? We call that seed money. And it's a very good word because seeds take time to be nurtured and to grow, but eventually they bring, 20, 40, 50, 100 fold, right? And these are all things that you should teach your kids, these terms. These things are just basic instruction that all kids should have. Don't forget to teach them how to count back change, what to do, if someone is wanting to purchase with a credit card and you only have cash, will you make Sabbath sales? Of course not. You're going to close for the Sabbath day. On and on. This is the perfect time of year, though, as summer is coming on us, to think ahead and teach our kids how to plan out something, diligently work step by step through it, and then see that it led surely to plenty. That was from Proverbs 21:5, and that was a teaching tip for homeschooling. I hope it gave you lots of ideas. You can use a scripture as your primary textbook for everything that you teach. Have you been hoping that you could teach your kids to learn to read and speak Hebrew? Do you want to understand your Bible better while deepening your relationship with your Heavenly Father and growing in love for His people Israel? Then come to foundationspress.com, where we offer a simple, easy-to-use workbook that uses Psalm 119 to teach the Hebrew alphabet to children while also teaching modern Hebrew vocabulary. In fact, 135 modern Hebrew vocabulary words that could be used right away in your daily life or on your next trip to Israel. Straightforward pronunciation and usage tips are included, as well as plenty of review so that sounds and words won't be forgotten. Your kids will be given the opportunity to use their creativity with every lesson, helping to lock in the meaning and the sounds of every Hebrew letter. Now, this book was written for kids, but I have to tell you, the parents who tested it were unanimous that it works great for adults too. So, come and learn the Hebrew language with Aleph Bet for Beginners from Psalm 119, only at foundationspress.com. There are a lot of things that need to be planned if you're going to have an effective homeschooling year, but I thought of 8 areas that often get forgotten when we make a plan for homeschooling. Number 1, make a plan for chores. If you're ever going to get all of your schoolwork done every day and still have energy left over to breathe, you're also going to need a system for chores. We certainly have a system in our house, but it's very easy to get off track and to let everything slide. The first thing I do when planning a new homeschooling year is print out my chore plan from last year. Then I can evaluate how things have changed since then and what things need to be tweaked. Think about how your kids have grown. Do you need to teach them new skills? Do you need to give them more responsibility? Are there some areas that need to be changed because of their personalities? Finally, help your children and yourself too develop good habits by teaching them to get back into a consistent daily routine. This means that they're going to need to do their jobs faithfully at the same time every day. That really helps. And you are going to need to inspect and teach them every day. One of my favorite quotes is, "Don't expect what you won't inspect." Number 2, make a plan for getting up in the morning. It's very easy as a homeschooling family to let the morning wake-up time slide, and it gets later and later and later. But if you don't get up in the morning, you're just not going to have enough hours in the day to get done the things that are really an important priority to you. So even if it's a rude awakening for everybody, set an alarm. Alarm clocks are a tried and true practice. Also, set an alarm in the evening to help you get to bed on time. That's a new practice that I started in the last year, and my alarm goes off at 9:45 every night to remind me it's time to get started on my bedtime routine. Getting sleep and getting up in the morning will help you be effective in your homeschooling. Number 3, figure out your meals and your menus. Your brain is going to have too much to think about during school to wonder what you're going to eat for supper or breakfast or lunch. And yet, if you don't think about it, you won't have anything to eat. So we rely heavily on our home, as you already know, on a weekly menu. We save these menus from year to year so that we can reuse them and not have to reinvent the wheel and use up all our brain cells. We eat simple breakfasts over and over again. If you can think of 7 breakfasts and then repeat them every Monday, eat the same thing. Every Tuesday, eat the same thing. That really helps, and it keeps you from being monotonous in your menu planning as well. We also have several easy dinners that are ready to go, recipes that I can pick out and make within a half an hour, let's say, with ingredients that I keep stocked in our pantry. Your older children also need to be taught to help you. And you know what? All of these things will work better if you'll set an alarm on your phone. Set an alarm to thaw meat for supper. Set an alarm to remind you to go out and get started on lunch and not get preoccupied with something else. Staying on that schedule for meals will really help you be effective in your homeschooling. Number 4, plan out how to help your children learn to obey. If children are not obedient, you are not going to enjoy teaching them. It's just no fun to wrestle with a child all day long. God says the same thing. In Proverbs 23:24, it says, "The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begets a wise child will have joy of him." So before you start your homeschooling year, ask yourself 3 questions. Number 1, do your children obey the first time you speak? Number 2, do they obey cheerfully? Number 3, do you enjoy your children? If everyone in your house needs brushing up on this area, then check out our website at torahhome.com, where we will have some links to help you, and then ask God to help you be more consistent. Number 5, plan out a way to evaluate your children's strengths and weaknesses. One of our favorite things to do every 6 months or so is line our kids up against the wall and mark how much they have grown. It's so much fun to see how much they are growing. But in the same way, it's really good to plan out a way to evaluate their strengths and weaknesses. Plan a time, put it on your calendar, make an appointment with each child, sit down with each one and ask him about his dreams, his goals, his fears, his worries, and plan out ways to build up his strengths and his weaknesses. That will only happen if you're intentional about it. So again, mark it on your calendar. This will help you be effective in your homeschooling by customizing your teaching to your children. Number 6, plan out a way to get rid of distractions. First, go through your home with an eye for clutter. Check your closets, look under the bed, look in your cupboards, but certainly out in the open spaces too. How can you think about history, about the great historical people who led the way in our world when there's a sock in the middle of the floor, or Legos everywhere and you can't even walk? You'll go stir crazy next winter if the clutter closes in on you. It would be better to plan out extra time, as much time as it needs, to get rid of the clutter before you bother bringing out the books. Then, be sure to clean out the clutter in your schoolroom or school area also. The smaller space that you live in, the more careful you are going to need to be every single day to clean out the clutter as soon as the school day is done. Again, this is something you can plan and put on your daily schedule to say, let's say it's 4 o'clock. At 4 o'clock, a timer goes off. Everybody, walk through the house for 5 minutes. Put away your school books, put away your pencils, put away your shoes. Let's clean up clutter. And then we can breathe and maybe get started on supper. You know, you also need to weed out the distractions from your time as well. Make sure that you have a reasonable and manageable schedule for your day, but let the distractions like Facebook and friends who are always texting and always calling, Let them know that you are in school, and like any school teacher or any employee, you are not able to take phone calls, check email, or talk on Facebook during those hours. Weed out distractions. Be ruthless, because you know what? You can't spend time with other people and also spend time with your children. Who are the people that you love the most? Who are the people that you are most invested in? Make sure that you invest those precious moments that once spent are completely gone. Make sure you invest those moments in the people that count the most to you. You know, finally, be sure that time with your husband is scheduled and made a priority too. He is never, ever a distraction. He is the most important person in your life. Number 7, make a plan and be sure to pray about it. You know, speaking of your husband, be sure to allow some time away with him, even if it's just for a few hours, to pray about the coming school year and to share all of your plans with each other. God has set up your husband as the leader in your home, and you are to communicate with him. You know, you also need to communicate with your Heavenly Father. Children are just on loan to you from him. Ask him what his plans for your homeschooling year are. Ask him for wisdom in your mothering and teaching. And the only way this is going to happen is if you plan those times to be with your husband, to be with your Heavenly Father. I set alarms. I put these times as appointments in my calendar. And then when someone says, "Would you like to go do this?" I say, "I'm sorry, but I have a commitment at that time," and keep that commitment. Finally, plan for training for yourself. Are there subjects coming up that you need help with? Do you need to brush up on fractions? Algebra? Do you remember how to make a cursive S? Do you need help before that subject needs to be taught? So you can go out to the local library, spend an afternoon searching online or looking through the books on their shelves. You've got webinars and conference sessions. We've got those for free at homeschoolingtorah.com. I will put a link to them on our website at torahome.com. You need to strive for excellence in your teaching, but if you do not plan out time to grow as a teacher, you are not going to be able to teach your children. So in closing, your schedule, your calendar, the alarm on your phone, those are handy little tools that you can use to be intentional and excellent in everything that you do as a homeschool mom. You know, all this talk about planning today reminds me of something I wanted to remember to tell you. Sometimes circumstances come into our life to mess up the amazing plan that we just worked so hard to construct. And then we get really frustrated and sometimes angry at the dear people we love most, who just happen to have a different plan for their life than what we had. And sometimes we're a little bit mad at God for allowing things to come into our life to mess up our plan. You know, these are called expectations. What are my expectations? When I lie in bed in the morning and I think about the day ahead, I'm expecting a certain kind of day to happen. And sometimes my joy and my happiness is based on those expectations. And I forget that Yehovah has foreordained my life before the beginning of time. And he has a perfect plan, a plan that I don't always know because his thoughts are higher than my thoughts. And so if my joy has been stolen and I'm feeling grumpy because my plan is messed up, I need to pull back for a second and remember that I'm not in charge of time. I am not in charge of my breath. I'm not in charge of anything. I am just a steward of what has been given to me. And if my boss, my creator in heaven, tells me that he has a different plan for my day than what I had, then I need to roll with it. I need to say, "Yes, Lord, I will do what you say." And suddenly my joy and happiness comes back. Why does it come back? Because he's in charge and I can trust him. I can lean on him and say, he knows what's best and he loves me so much that his plan must be for my best interest. He wants to protect me from that original plan and the dangers that it brought. Expectations, those are my ideas of what the day should look like. But Yehovah is a sovereign, almighty God who loves us and who wants to have a better plan for our time. True joy comes when I remember the steps of a good man are ordered by Yehovah. Next week on Torah Home, we're going to be talking about seeds and gardening. Plus, we'll be talking about how to plant seeds of truth in our children's hearts. So join us next week for A Torah Home is a Home that Plants Seeds. Today's episode of Torah Home has been brought to you by Scripture Pictures, Homeschooling Torah, and Foundations Press. You can get more information about each of these great companies by visiting us on our website at torahhome.com.
Don't forget to come to torahhome.com and let us know what you thought of today's show. Or you can come and visit us on Facebook at Your Torah Home. We look forward to hearing your comments and suggestions. Many blessings to your Torah home from ours.